I'm here in WMUK's Takeda studio with two wonderful musicians that I can promise you won't believe how young they are and yet how accomplished they already have become. I'm talking about jazz vocalist Megan Stegel and jazz bassist Matthew Epperson. Thank you so much for joining me at WMUK.
Thanks for having us,
Thank you
Kara.
so much. Yeah, we're glad to
Now,
be here.
the both of you are a bass and voice duo, and I wondered if we should just kick off with some music right away so we can get a sense of your sound, and I'd maybe ask one of you to introduce the first song we're going to hear today.
This first song we're going to do for you guys is called On Green Dolphin Street, a pretty common jazz standard. The reason we're doing it first, Matthew and I, when we first got together and formed this duo, this was the very first song we learned together. And we've performed it quite a bit since we formed our duo, which was, gosh, over a year ago now. So this is On Green Dolphin Street.
Dolphin Street supplied the setting for nights beyond forgetting. And through these moments apart, memories live in my heart. When I recall the love I found on, I could kiss the ground on Green Dolphin Street, ba 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 da ba sa ba ba da 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 ba da 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 ba ba da 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 sa da ba 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 da 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 sa da ba 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 da 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 sa da 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 ba da. Thank you. the setting for nights beyond forgetting. And through these moments apart, memories live in my heart. When I recall the love I've found on, I could kiss the ground on. I could kiss the ground on. I could kiss the ground on.
That was Megan Stegel and Matthew Epperson and the standard tune On Green Dolphin Street, with their own setting of it. This duo of voice and bass come out of the School of Music at Western Michigan University, and here's our chance to get to know them a little bit better. And pretty soon you'll have an opportunity to buy their very first album as a duo. So I'm going to start with you, Megan. First of all, that was beautiful, unexpected.
Thanks.
Like, so not over trying. You know, you just mm-hmm. gave the song soul.
Thank you.
So tell me about your background as a singer. What led you to this style of singing?
That's a great question. I actually used to hate jazz for the majority of my life, and I'm not kidding. My dad was, he plays trumpet in a jazz band, and as a little girl riding in his car, he would play all these amazing albums. He loves Chet Baker. He loves Count Basie. And I'd be sitting in the car and just wishing he would change the radio station already, because I just hated jazz so much. And I always knew I wanted to do music in college. But I started out classically, and I just wasn't really feeling it. It felt so constrained to me. And I have enormous respect for classical musicians. I just wanted to sing a little more freely. I wanted to play with time and with melody and with lyrics just a little bit more. So halfway through college, I sort of accidentally attended a vocal jazz recital. And I was listening to the music and just thinking, this is what I would love to do. But it wasn't until about halfway through college that I even started learning jazz, and afterwards realized I wanted to pursue jazz a lot more, which is why I came to Western for grad school.
Who did you study with here?
As a jazz musician in the jazz department, you actually get to study with almost everyone. So I started out studying with Greg Jaspers, and I've also studied with Jeremy Siskind, and taken classes or like combo/ensembles led by either Andrew Rathbun or Keith Hall or Dr. Scott Cowan. So really everyone in the jazz department that's been there, Matthew and I have both gotten to study with, which is awesome. It's an incredible opportunity to get to do that.
What are some of the ensembles that we would have seen you in the last few years?
Ooh, I was in GC2. And then Gold Company, my first year. And then I played piano for GC2, my second year. My favorite part about being here at Western is the community that you just get thrown into immediately. It takes minimal effort to meet people and play with them. And before you know it, you're just playing all over Kalamazoo.
Well, I'm going to ask Matthew Epperson the same thing. Where did you grow up and how did you get introduced to jazz?
I kind of, when I was a bit younger, I kind of stumbled into jazz accidentally. At my elementary school, there was a book fair that we used to host where every single book cost a nickel or like a quarter or something. And One of the things there was not a book, but a CD. It was Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery. And I picked it up because I was like, this isn't a book. This looks cool. I remember hearing the first few bars of Aerogen, the opening track on that album, so well. That was such a vivid moment for me. I was like, just automatically in the music and so intrigued and really loving it. But like, I talk to my parents about jazz and they're like, oh, like Miles Davis, you should Kind of Blue, you know, a couple other like famous jazz albums. And through that is kind of how I decided I wanted to play bass, because like I had to pick an instrument to play in the orchestra. And I was like, well, bass is cool because I won't have to play classical eventually. And here I am in the orchestra at Western. But that's kind of how I picked bass and still here playing bass from that. Yeah.
Well, she sings. This is your voice, you know?
Yeah.
You must have studied with Tom Kniffick here at Western then. You must be studying with Tom Kniffick here.
Yes. Yeah, I am. As Megan said also, I've also like studied with all the other professors. Everyone there has so much to offer. And it's been a real treat getting to learn from everyone there.
When you were a freshman, do you have any recollections of moments when you thought you weren't ready, but you had to do it anyway?
Every single day. Coming to Western is, or the jazz program, one of the best things about it is how small it is and how easy it is to form a community. It almost like, it feels like a conservatory at times, just like with how like small and close knit it is. But also being one of three jazz bassists in the program when I came in kind of left like a lot on my shoulders to carry. Like almost a third of all the jazz things happening. People were asking me to, okay, could you do this? Could you play on this? Immediately in my first year, they auditioned me into Gold Company, the top vocal jazz ensemble. And then the year after, they had me play in Gold Company and Advanced Jazz Ensemble. And it was a whole lot the whole time. I was kind of just like going full speed, kind of nervously shaking, like I'm going to make it through.
Yeah.
I have a memory of going to a Gold Company concert and seeing both of you on stage.
Oh.
I realize now, neither of you looked like you were feeling intimidated. You both were expressing joy and you're really into it on stage. And Matt, rhythm is one of your great strengths. Did you always kind of feel that, or is it just from listening to so many jazz albums that you play jazz rhythms in a really natural way?
Yeah, I think pretty much almost like a good majority of my like time learning jazz bass, I just really wanted to sound like Paul Chambers and have the quarter note that Paul Chambers had. And I just listened to so many of those Miles Quintet records and other recordings he was on. I listened to all those so much. I think that's the only reason why I'm able to keep like any time at all today, is just from like all of those albums I listened to. Mostly Paul Chambers, like obviously other bassists too.
So you would know a Paul Chambers quarter note if you were comparing. if I brought out the needle drop.
Yeah, don't make me do a downbeat blind listening test, but I'll say yeah.
But yeah, it's not the same as someone else's quarter note.
Yeah.
So. Well, I understand that you also admire a woman bassist named Esperanza Spalding, and maybe you'll be treating us next to one of her songs. Megan, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so this song is called Little Fly, and our version is very much based on the cover that Esperanza Spalding does.
She took the poem by William Blake, and she set those words to notes and arranged a lovely string quartet and bass and voice arrangement of it. That's just really, really beautiful. How I kind of like got to know Esperanza Spalding with that song. And yeah, Esperanza Spalding is also like one of my biggest influences. And I'd probably say my second favorite jazz vocalist, only to Megan Stegel. So here's our cover of Little Fly.
That's Little Fly, a piece by Esperanza Spalding, or a musical setting by Esperanza Spalding, as played by the voice and bass duo Megan Stegel and Matthew Epperson here in our studio at WMUK. They're live with us, giving us a taste of an upcoming project, which will be released very soon. Let me ask you, Megan, about the words of this song, Little Fly. It has a mature theme of the maybe fragility of life. When Matthew brought you this idea for the song, do you look at lyrics first or melody, or you have to kind of figure out how to make it yours?
Yeah, definitely. I think that process kind of happens while you're practicing. So like, you know, the first two times we played through it, I was solely focused on singing the right notes and the right words at the right time. But once you really have that down, then you start to look deeper. Like, what is this song about? And what I love about the song is that I think it's really perfect for this kind of a setting. Because like what you said, fragility of life, kind of like just exposing yourself and everything being very fragile. That's pretty much this duo. It's a very fragile duo. You can hear everything, all the mistakes and all the right notes too.
I just wanted to add that I love your voice as it is, so the
oh,
way,
thanks.
Especially to be a little technical, how this vibrato tends to like feather out of a straight tone. It's just beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
And touching.
Thank you.
And of course, Matthew, not to leave you out.
Yeah.
You're doing amazing things in this setting and hitting more than a single note at a time. You're doing a lot of chordal accompaniment here. Mm-hmm. Is that a challenge do you like to set for yourself?
That's playing chords on the bass, double stops, however you'd like to call it, was something I was like first introduced to by listening to the artist Thundercat, who's actually an electric bassist. Him and Flying Lotus were a big influence of mine. They're like definitely more electronic, funk based music, totally like maybe the opposite of where we're coming from, but I play a bit of electric bass also. And when I figured out I could play those on electric bass, I was like, oh, like, hey, I could play these on upright bass. And you can, but they're much, much harder and to get in tune. I kind of, you know, started off playing like two notes at a time. Most of that arrangement is based on like a three note or three voice chord. And then later, one of the more recent songs I've brought, I have a quadruple stop, if you will, where I'm playing four notes at a time, and is one of the more difficult things I've had to do.
Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah.
I'm with Megan Stagel and Matthew Epperson here on Weekend Let's Hear It, and we're live in the studio at WMUK. I'm Carol Laurence. So up next, I know you're going to play a Cole Porter song. And first, I want a forum discussion on the word standard. I get that, you know, they come from the Great American Songbook and Gershwin and Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hammerstein. And it's just that most kids in the last couple of generations don't necessarily have a strong background in these songs. So when you introduce it as a standard, and I've never heard it before, it kind of gives me that feeling like, oh, what did I miss?
Like you should know the song or something. Yeah. Like you're missing out.
I guess Megan and I both like going through the same jazz education system, if you will. There's kind of this like very large list of tunes that just like the jazz standards, many of which come from the Great American Songbook. Most Great American Songbook tunes are standard jazz standards, but not all jazz standards are always going to be, you know, some jazz standards were compositions like by John Coltrane. And he was not writing for Broadway musicals like a lot of the American Songbook tunes were. I Love You by Cole Porter, for example, is just a song that found its way into several instrumentalists' hands who enjoyed playing the melody, and like they played it enough to where we hear all the recordings of them and now we want to play it, which is kind of how it continues on.
Before I studied jazz, I definitely did not know most of these tunes. There's a few exceptions, like All of Me or Night and Day. Like maybe you've heard Ella Fitzgerald or Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin. They do some of those jazz standards. But even a lot of the ones on our album, I did not know until a year or 2 years ago.
By the way, you can't walk into a bookstore and buy the Great American Songbook. This is a concept, not a publication.
Yeah.
Well, whether it's a real book or not, Cole Porter is one of the main authors. Let's hear Megan Stegall and Matthew Epperson playing I Love You. live in the Takeda studio at WMUK. We have singer Megan Stegall and bassist Matthew Epperson, who together are a bass and voice duo. It's so wonderful to have you performing here at WMUK, and I'm so excited to share it with everyone out there in Radioland.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
As performers, what is your favorite way to communicate with an audience? What kind of room, what kind of setting do you like?
I've always been a fan of the duo setting, to be honest. Whether it's bass and voice, or guitar and voice, or piano and voice. I love that cozy, intimate setting where it kind of feels like you're the only person in the room or in the bar or in the restaurant or whatever, and the musicians are playing to you. I just love the idea of, like, exposed, really intimate, cozy duos.
When you have a group of people in front of you, a crowd, how often do you take a moment to observe and see people's faces and reactions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I had a teacher in Chicago. Her name is Tammy McCann. She's a wonderful jazz vocalist. And one of the things that we emphasized in our lessons was the energy exchange between the musicians and the audience. So you really had to connect with the audience. The main purpose of the song and of the lyrics was to communicate and affect the audience members. So I think looking at your audience is extremely important. This might sound creepy, but I really like to look at the audience members in the eyes and be like, I am looking at you right now and telling you these lyrics, and I hope it impacts you somehow.
Was there a shyness instinct you had to kind of overcome?
A little bit, yeah. definitely. It definitely took a while. And of course, when you're singing a tune and maybe it's a song you're not as confident on, it's a little bit harder
to
look
to
at someone. Yeah, because you're focusing on, you know, the melody, remembering the words, whatever it is. But it's something I've worked on over a period of time.
And Matthew, you almost have a way to hide out behind your bass and watch a crowd. Is that something you do as well?
I think for a better part of my, like, however long I've played, a lot of the time I've been, like, just very caught up in, like, oh, man, am I playing in tune? Am I playing the right notes? Like, oh, like, what's happening? And, like, really, like, worrying about what I'm doing. But as of more recently, as I'm kind of growing into my own and becoming a bit more confident with what I'm doing, I definitely tend to notice when certain audience members appear to, like, be more interested, or it's definitely something you can pick out, whether it be in a crowded, noisy bar or background gig, or if it's in a concert hall even, and everyone's looking at you and appears to be listening, you can still point out a couple people who appear to, like, be more, like, interested and intent. And I notice and I appreciate those people, but I do not look at anyone in the eye, because if I do that for more than 2 seconds, I begin to feel weirded out myself and that I'd mess up. So
leave it to the singer.
Yeah,
she's the front woman.
In the eye. Also, when we're doing our duo, we tend to look at each other quite a bit, just to, like, further connect musically. Even, like, physically looking at each other, it really helps with the music.
Well, let's get back to this so-called Great American Songbook, this mythical being, this unicorn filled with standards that some of us know and some of us don't. But this one is probably going to reach a lot of people. It's called The Nearness of You. Tell us how you like to perform this one.
This song, The Nearness of You, is kind of an exception for Matthew and I in our duo. Most of the times when we're performing a song, we've got some sort of arrangement to make it really interesting. This is the song where we kind of just go for it, and whatever happens, happens. So this is The Nearness of You by Hoagie Carmichael.
Megan Stagel's on vocals and Matt Epperson is on bass, and this is Weekend Let's Hear It, recorded in our Takeda studio by sound engineer Martin Clem.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh, no. It's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that it breaks this sensation. Oh, and now it's just the nearness of you. Feel you so close to me, all my wildest dreams come true. I need no soft light to enchant me if you will only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight.
That's Megan Stagel and Matthew Epperson live in our studio at WMUK with The Nearness of You. Such a beautiful take on that. And you're very free with it, of course, since you kind of set it up that way to sing and play as you feel.
Yeah.
Is that because it is so familiar? Like, you know exactly where it should go so you can play around?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, Matthew and I are both really familiar with that song. That was one of the very first songs I had learned a while back. I think same for Matthew. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to pick a song that you know the other person knows really well, and just kind of play around and be free with it.
Does this duo, this combination of voice and bass, allow you to do things that you don't get to do in other configurations? Is that one of the reasons you're together as a musical pair?
I think with the bass voice duo, so much is implied, like time is very much implied. Harmony is very much implied, because Matt will play chords, but sometimes he'll just be walking a bass line and I'll be improvising, and it's important to imply the harmony that's happening.
It really sets up a challenge for both of us.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's like a, it's all the time. It's like a two voice counterpoint that we're just trying to and improvise like that.
Yeah. Time and harmony are both of our responsibilities. So although it's like really daunting and challenging, it's also at the same time very freeing, and very liberating. Yeah.
It's all in your hands.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's all up to us, I guess.
Well, I can see where that would be a wonderful challenge. The fewer people in the mix, the bigger worlds you have to occupy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure you get a lot of enjoyment when you are part of bigger ensembles, too. So it's nice to have the opportunity here in Kalamazoo to take advantage of all of those things.
To do it all, yeah. Yeah. I think both Matthew and I have been lucky enough to get those opportunities.
Well, maybe now's a good time to talk about the new album and why you decided to, you know, commit this to vinyl. Will it be? These days it could be vinyl. Ooh,
it could
or
be
CD.
Anything. Yeah, fine. Cassette tape.
Laserdisc. Floppy disk.
CD.
And tell me what made you decide to do that.
Well, I think when Megan and I started this duo, it was an idea we were both really excited about. And for a while, it was just kind of like both of ours, just like our excitement and our energy, just kind of like moving forward. And we never really like were aiming for anything. We were just like, let's learn more tunes and let's play this show or whatever. And it wasn't until several months in when like this group had been performing a lot and we had learned a lot of songs. And I personally felt like this is one of my like favorite settings to play in and
same.
My favorite thing to be a part of. And I was like, we need to do something, you know, like we've been, it's like kind of like learning songs, doing all this, but like we need to cut this to the disc to record it, you know, to, yeah, it's, I was really excited recording this album just to like save these memories that we've made, and being able to go back and listen to it and be able to share it with other people. I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah. Something else to note about the album is that we recorded it live at East Patterson Studios.
Just so, like today.
Yeah, much like this radio.
Exactly the same.
It's literally, yeah, it's like, here's the take of us doing I Love You, and here we go. Like, whatever happens will happen, which I think just kind of adds to the charm of our duo and what we're trying to accomplish.
You're accomplishing a lot, let me just say. Thanks. From my point of view, you both play with such musicality, and the beauty of your playing, both of you, just comes together so, so well. I do want to cover a quick topic, and that would be the improvised singing. Is it scat singing?
You can call it scatting.
Okay, scatting. It occurred to me as you were taking a passage, you know, of scatting, that I just like wondered how far ahead in your imagination as you're singing are you? Do you sometimes surprise yourself and have to get out of a musical situation?
All the time.
What
happens? Oh, yes. More often than I would like to admit. do I find myself in a musical kerfuffle.
Because singing is so immediate, with an instrument with keys, you're like, I'm going to hit an A, or I'm going
to... So with improvising on voice, it's a lot different because it's so dependent on your ear. Whereas maybe with like improvising on piano, you can look at the notes. And obviously all the good improvisers are also thinking about it in terms of their ear and hearing what they want to play. But for singing, it's so fundamental to hear what note you want to sing. I think it can kind of drive like beginning jazz vocalists away a little bit. It can be a little intimidating, but I think just over time, you learn to accept whatever's going to happen and just study that harmony a lot so you can really hit all the chord tones that are happening in the song.
You mentioned working with Greg Jaspers and a teacher in Chicago. Any other mentors who work on this with you?
Definitely. Sonny Wilkinson has also been just a wonderful mentor of mine. And all three of them have really stressed how to improvise well with spirit, but also accurately. So making sure you're really hitting good notes that really pertain to like the song's harmony.
Well, because you are a pianist, do you mentally change your idea of performing from singing lyrics, where the words and diction are super important, mm-hmm. to maybe becoming an instrumentalist in your mind?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I started taking piano lessons here at Western, I started to approach improvising vocally that way, much like improvising on a horn. So really trying to be as clear as possible, trying to think of the lines in my head and what notes I was singing. Whereas before I took those lessons, I was really just kind of like going off my own imagination and not really focusing on that as much.
Well, would you mind giving us another song where we might hear a little bit of scatting? I think up next is one of my favorites. It's a standard I know from Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
So this next song, If I Were a Bell, I first heard it on an album by Miles Davis. And it's just such a fun, catchy little number. And so many people know it. I think Megan and I came to playing it just because, like, it's just that good of a tune. And, like, we just wanted to play it because both of us had a lot of fun playing it before. So, yeah, we didn't have to work on it a whole lot. We kind of, from the first time we played it, it's just, the tune's so fun, you don't have to do much. It does all the work for us. It's pretty nice.
Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the way that we kiss tonight, that's the way I just gotta behave. Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light, and if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me, with my quiet upbringing? Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my springs. And if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dang, ding, dang, ding, bada ba ba da ba si da. Da 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 We're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the way that we kiss tonight, that's the way I just gotta behave. Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light. And if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me, how do I feel? Little me, with my quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my springs. And if I were a bell, oh, if I were a bell, oh, if I were a bell, I'd go ding, 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 bum, ba, da,
zoom. Here in the studio at WMUK, you're listening to Megan Stagel and Matthew Epperson, a voice and bass duo with If I Were a Bell from Guys and Dolls. And we're nearing the end of our time together here, but I just want to say again, this has been an absolutely thrilling session with you here, and I'm so pleased to be able to do this and introduce listeners to musicians they might not have heard before, and musicians who are doing really great work. And both of you are on Facebook, so if you wouldn't mind spelling your name so people might follow you there.
Yeah, please add us on Facebook. We're friendly people. My name is spelled M-E-G-H-A-N, and Stagel is S-T-A-G-L.
Okay, Matthew?
On Facebook, you can find me at Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, J, Epperson, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. And if you'd like other updates, I do have a professional-ish Twitter account, which you can follow at Matthew Tunes, which is M-A-T-T-H-E-W-T-O-O-N-S. And I'll be having updates about the album and future shows of ours for sure on there. So
I know we have just a little bit of time left, but this song you're going to perform next, to me, has some of the most piquant lyrics of all time. And since we've been talking about this great American songbook, one of the reasons a song gets in the book is because the lyrics are as good mm-hmm. as the music. I mean, they're both just shining jewels. Mm-hmm. So here we have the singer talking about playing solitaire and ordering orange juice for one and mm-hmm. things that give you such a sense of who the person is. Would you talk about the experience of getting one of these songs in your heart, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some jazz songs that I am not even ready to sing yet. Like, you just have to be a certain age and have had a certain amount of life experience to really be able to do the song justice. And this is actually one of those songs where I get nervous, like, do I have enough life experience? Just because the lyrics are painful. Like, they just make me want to weep every time. So I have to get into a certain headspace of just, like, really dark. And, I mean, not necessarily dark, but just, like, sorrowful, I guess. Mm-hmm. And just trying to draw upon whatever life experience I have that could relate to those lyrics, and just thinking about that person that's made me feel that way, or that experience that has made me feel that way.
Yeah, I would definitely, for me, how I found out about this song was Miles Davis's recording of it, which I could safely say is one of my favorite songs of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, and hearing that, just Miles Davis play it on trumpet alone was enough to make me tear up. When I found out what the lyrics were, I was heartbroken. I was, it was such a poignant feeling. Just you, like, bringing up the lyrics earlier, it gets, like, hair standing on my, I'm just, like, this song especially, although it's something I always try to aim to do, is, like, I just have to put my whole heart into serving the music and delivering this song as beautifully as I can. Because if I can help anyone feel any kind of thing when I'm performing, that's all I'm really shooting for. So,
well, here are Matthew Epperson and Megan Stegall here on WMUK's Let's Hear It with It Never Entered My Mind.
Once I left when I heard you saying that I'd be playing solitaire. Uneasy in my easy chair, it never entered my mind. Oh, once you told me I was mistaken, that I'd awaken with the sun. And order orange juice for it never entered my mind. Oh, you have what I like myself. Now I even have to once you warned me that if you scorned me, I'd sing the maiden's prayer again. And wish that you were there again to give.